All right, well, good morning, and God bless each one of you. Praise God for this opportunity again. Why don't we just pause for a word of prayer before we begin? Father in heaven, this morning again, we just look to you. We know that within our own selves, there is nothing that can attain to that righteousness which you ask of us, that state of justification that you ask of us to be in, to come boldly to your throne, to make our requests and needs known to you. We know that within and of ourselves there is no such thing. But we are so thankful and we praise you this morning that we do not need to look at our own abilities or our own attainments or that which we have come to ourselves, but we rest alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Because he has come, he is our justification, he is our sanctification. He has come to be all that for us. He has paid the price. He is the mediator between us and God, the propitiation for our sins. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming and being that for us and closing that gap between God and man or spanning that gap. And we now today, through the shed blood of Jesus, can come boldly to your throne. We thank you this morning, Lord. It's by faith that we receive this. And that we come to you, Lord, as those that are seeking and are hungry and want to hear more from you. We just pray your grace and blessing upon each of us this morning, upon all the hearers, wherever they may be, Lord. May your blessing just rest upon them, forgiving them, and allowing themselves to go into that place of hungering and thirsting, Lord, because your word teaches us that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Oh God, give us that hunger. Give us that thirst. And we know there are many out there that are seeking and are hungry, and they dare hardly search because they have been indoctrinated that it's a fearful thing and that people get deceived. But oh God, I pray by your Holy Spirit you would just lay it upon our hearts to realize that the most dangerous place to be in is not seeking. But you have told us clearly that if we will seek after you with all our hearts, we will find, and you told us if we seek, if we knock, if we ask, it will be given to us. And then the blessings that rest upon that all day that do thirst and hunger after you shall be filled. What a promise. We thank you this morning and praise you. We just ask you to be with us today now. And Lord, that you would give me the grace, Lord, that somehow your truth may come forth in this awesome matter this morning of being born again. I want to speak about that marvelous birth that comes alone from you. So we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, last Sunday, I couldn't be on this study. I think Brother Steve filled in for me. But this morning, or 2 weeks ago, we discussed the subject for all have sinned. Just to make us very aware and realize our desperate need of salvation, and that without Christ we have no hope. Trying to bring that all out, that we are not trying to justify ourselves for something that we may have tried to be or something that we are through birth or any of that, but that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all need Jesus. This morning we want to look at something the doctrine of the new birth. We want to look at, I titled this message this morning, Ye Must Be Born Again. And I want to take this into a few different subtitles, maybe. Number one would be, what is the new birth? And number two, later on, would be, how do we become born again? As I titled those things, I had to think of, in my upbringing years, I heard so many times that you must be born again. And I know that within myself, I used to wonder, how? How do I get born again? How? And the answer was never there. I never knew. It was never explained how to get born again. And how do we become born again? And how do we know when we are born again? As a matter of fact, we were taught you cannot know you're born again. So how? And it was just a longing within my soul to have that that confidence in my heart that I am where God wants me to be. So this morning, I'd like to just turn our Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 1 through 21. Very clear description of the new birth. I'd like to read this. And I know that as I went through the 18 articles of faith, I may be repeating myself this morning because This is something that I expounded on in those articles, but this morning we're going to be touching again on this scripture because I feel it is paramount that we get into these scriptures, we take a look at what Jesus was saying. These are the words of Jesus, the Savior of the world, that came directly to speak to our hearts, and it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Even though he was in heaven, he saw the need, and it says that it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, speaking about us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. We read that there in Hebrews, and what a blessing that God was willing to do that, that Jesus was willing to do that and be made like unto us. Well, here we have his words. Begin to read in John chapter 3, verse 1 through 17, through 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how can ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. All right, here we see this picture here of one of the clearest descriptions of the new birth that we find in the Word of God. And it's very interesting to notice here that this man that came to Jesus, this Nicodemus, he was a man, it says that he was a man of the Pharisees, he was a ruler of the Jews. Now, if we just take a very brief little quick picture here at what these Pharisees were. For instance, Paul, he said he was a Pharisee, and he said as touching the law blameless. My thoughts went to the rich young ruler in this situation here. When he came to Jesus there and he said, Good master, what good things should I do that I may have eternal life? This was a rich young ruler. Well, here again was a ruler of the Jews. Now, how did these people live? I believe Nicodemus was very much in the same state as this rich young ruler, that when Jesus told him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, this rich young ruler said, Which? In other words, which commandments? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? Now the question I have for you now this morning is this. Was this man lying? I don't believe he was. I think this rich young ruler was speaking honestly, and from the best of his heart, he was a very religious man. He was a religionist. He was very involved in trying to do the best that he knew, and therefore he kept these commandments, and he could, from an honesty of his heart, say, All these things have I kept from my youth. Now, for you and I this morning, I'd like to just challenge us that I don't think there's any of us that can say we've kept these things. Now, even if we would have kept them to the law, that, or the title of the law, we might say, or the title of the law, there's one thing that comes out here that Jesus brings out, and we see that even here in this teaching here with the rich young ruler. Jesus was going beyond just the outward keeping of the letter. This man was keeping it to the letter. Then Jesus went a step further and came right into his heart and said, if you would have a place in the kingdom, he said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Well, this man went away sorrowful. See, Jesus, again, what I want to just impress here again is that the contrast in the new kingdom, when Jesus came to this earth and said, or when John came preaching and he said, the kingdom of heaven, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that we would clearly understand that as Christians, we are part of a whole different kingdom. We are part of the new kingdom. It is not in the old, where there's the doing of the letter, but it's the new, which is that which is born of the Spirit of God. When Jesus cried those awesome words on the cross, it is finished, those words went a long way. Those words meant that righteousness, it is the whole concept of going forth and attaining righteousness by the letter of the law, or seeking to be right with God in that way, is finished. It is now new life through the death of Jesus, because at the moment that he spoke those words and gave up the ghost, it says the veil in the temple rent from the top to the bottom. Why from the top to the bottom? So that no man could claim that man did it somehow. But this was a work of God that opened up the way into the Holy of Holies, where we may now come boldly to the throne of grace. That Holy of Holies is opened up for all, and the kingdom of heaven dwells within you, Jesus said. It's just a marvelous whole new concept here that Jesus was trying to teach to these people. Now, coming back to Nicodemus here, something we want to notice here is this man, a Pharisee, he was a very strict religionist. He celebrated the Passover. He paid tithes. He said prayers. He brought sacrifices. He tried to keep the law, and I believe he lived that out. But to him, Jesus said, you must be born again. And I'd like to just challenge us this morning. You may try to keep the golden rule. You may pay your bills. You may be a good neighbor. You may keep out of jail all your life. You may never commit adultery. You may never cheat anyone. But that will not save you. You must be born again. These are the words of Jesus, the Son of God. Why didn't Jesus say this to Pilate? Why didn't he say that to Pilate, this wicked ruler there that was there just to please the people and actually commanded Jesus to be crucified, or at least delivered him over to the Jews there? Why didn't he say it to Judas, that man that had a devil? He didn't say it to people like that. You see, it's not just for the gangsters. It's not just for the cheats, the adulterers, the whoremongers, the liars, the drunkards, the drug addicts, the gamblers. It's not just for those. It's Nicodemus, a religious man. And he may have felt pretty good about himself, having to do with all those outward religious activities. But you know, man's problem is not that which is on the outside. It's that which is on the inside. It's that which comes from the heart. And that's what we want to look at this morning. And I think we need to take a serious look at this. It's not, you know, you may have done a lot of good things in your life, and you may have tried to live according to all the commands of your parents and the commands of the church and come up very clear to the standard of the church you're in and live those things out to a T. But I tell you, Jesus is saying to you this morning, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. All right, then we go on down here. Another thing I'd like to look at is we do not need outward decoration. We need inward regeneration. That's what needs to happen. Now, I'd like to just go in here. Another scripture here that comes to my mind is in Matthew 15, verse 19. It says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. You see, these things come from the heart. And Jesus, which is very evident in the new kingdom as we go through Matthew, that Jesus is dealing with the heart. Again, I'll repeat this. I've said it again in other studies. When Jesus came and spoke to the people. And John the Baptist was out there baptizing by the Jordan, and it says the people came to him, and they were baptized, and then came the Pharisees and these Jews to him also, the scribes and Pharisees, and he told them, he said, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, bring forth therefore fruits meet of repentance. Then he goes on and says something very interesting. He says, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. And again, I'll just try to explain that again this morning. That this new kingdom, this Christianity kingdom, is a kingdom that begins with the Spirit of God dealing with the root of the tree. You know, in the Old Testament, they were just like, and I'll again use that quick illustration, they were like a man that is living in, if we would just say that apples would be good fruit and pears bad fruit. And here's a pear tree. Well, they were all had pear trees. And in the Old Testament, they were constantly, year by year, going to the temple, and they would be taking off these pears and putting apples on the tree. Well, Jesus said, I am come to change. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. He's going to hew down that tree, and he's going to plant an apple tree, and from there on forth, with the new birth being born of God, this new tree will bring forth good fruit. That's basically what he's talking about there. And he said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree, and he's warning these Pharisees to come to him that, you know, you want to come out here, and he says, I want to bring forth fruits meet of repentance. That word meet there means befitting and proper. He says, bring forth these fruits. Well, fruits we know come from the root. So without a new root, you can't bring forth new fruit. You may try to put it on, but that's not bringing it forth. That's just showing it. And he says that we must bring forth fruits meet of repentance. All right. Another thing we want to look at is this. What is the new birth? Well, in verse 8 of this chapter, we find very clearly that it is a mystery. It changes things, yet you cannot see it. Back years ago, I was working in western Pennsylvania, Atlantic Pennsylvania. We went out there to help with tornado rebuilding. There was a bad tornado there. And we went out there and we looked over that, and I tell you, when that tornado came, the people said that, you know, there's no way we could deny the reality of the wind. It went through and it did tremendous, tremendous damage. The wind, the reality of the effects of it was there. Yet there was nobody there that could tell me they saw the wind. You can't see the wind, and that's what he likens this to. It's a mystery. It changes things, yet you cannot see it. We cannot deny the reality of wind. We cannot see the Holy Spirit. We cannot really explain him, but we can see his mighty power make the liar honest, the harlot pure, the rebellious surrender, the blasphemer pray, the vow made pure. Hallelujah. We can see the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but we cannot see him. It is the work of God that takes a poor, needy, sinful, bound, hell-deserving sinner and makes him into a free, joyful, victorious child of God and begins a new life. This is the new birth. It's a new birth. It's his second birth. It is a birth of the Holy Spirit of God. And that is what we need. That's what he's talking about. You know, he says very clearly here in the Word, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, I hold pretty strongly in my theology, my understanding of the Word, that when he says water, there he's talking about the natural birth. We know that the natural birth is a water birth. We know that we are born of water, and I think that's what Paul was saying here, because Jesus. Jesus was saying here to Nicodemus, he must be born again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Here's Nicodemus, and he is seeing a first birth. He says, how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? Jesus said, you have a natural birth, and you need a spiritual birth. There is a water birth, and there is a spiritual birth. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. There's where the emphasis is. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. All through this scripture here, we find he's comparing natural to spiritual. Natural to spiritual. That's why I say, and I know that, you know, if we even go back into some of the early Christian writers, some of them hold to this water thing as being baptism. I'm sorry, I cannot see it that way. I believe it's talking And I'm not stuck on this. I don't make it a doctrinal issue that that would cause friction or problem. I'm just telling you that's how I see it. As I look at this, he's talking about two births, the natural, the spiritual. And it's interesting to me. And actually, this scripture opened up to me the first time that I actually was with my wife at the birth of one of our children. And as I was there at that birth and observed that whole thing, it just clicked in my mind. This is what it's talking about. This is the water birth. And it just always was clear to me ever since that. But let's just continue to look at this. This is what needs to happen. We have a natural birth, and we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven in that natural birth. The carnal man understands not the things of God. They are foolishness under him, neither can he comprehend. We must be born of the Spirit of God. The new birth cannot be earned. I'm sorry, back up here a little bit. You cannot join the family of God. You cannot join the family of God. I'll just say that again. You cannot join the family of God. You must be born into it. You must be born into it. A birth is the coming into being of a new life which has the nature of its parents. When we are born the first time, we are made partakers of the old nature, the sinful nature we all received from Adam. When we are born again, we become partakers of the divine nature. Peter, 2 Peter 1:4 gives us a very clear description of this, being partakers of the divine nature. The new birth cannot be earned. Ephesians 2:8 says very clearly, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, you can go forth and share your testimony all over the world about how you are born again, and you are not boasting if you didn't earn it. But if you have the mentality that you earned this, that somehow through your good works you came to this place, well, then you are boasting when you share it with others. But if you realize in your heart, this is a gift of God, God has given me this wonderful gift, then there is no way that you can boast about it. All you do when you share it with others is you glorify God. You're pointing people to God as the gift giver. You're pointing them to Him because He gives it to all who will, who come to Him and seek His grace and His forgiveness. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." How much clearer do we want to get? God begins with conviction. How do we become born again, or what is this new birth? God begins with conviction. Every one of us has been born with a God-given vacuum or empty feeling within. And we all know what that is. Man has been trying to fill this vacuum ever since the beginning of time. But because man is carnal, soul under sin, as Paul puts it in Romans 7, man tries anything other than Jesus to fill this vacuum because of the sinfulness of their nature. I was there. I was following that. Drinking, drugs, smoking, movies, parties, dating, going on trips, amusement parks, recreation, vacations, etc., etc. It goes on and on and on. People are trying to fill this vacuum in their life, this empty feeling, and they try to fill it with something. And I tell you, this vacuum, this space in your heart that is empty, is put there of God, and it's like a piece of a puzzle that's missing, and the shape of that is Jesus. That's the only thing that will fill that place. It's the only thing that will complete that puzzle in your life. It has filled it in mine. It has filled it in so many multitudes of people that I hear that share about what has happened in their life. It is in the shape of Jesus, and He alone can fill that. And then the puzzle of life can be complete. You may still have some questions, but He always comes back. He is always the answer. The Colossians says, "Ye are complete in Him." And that's the completeness of the puzzle. Why must we be born again? Well, John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because man has a sinful nature, he is corrupt and totally depraved from all righteousness." He cannot come forth with righteousness on his own. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You cannot, because you cannot change. You cannot bring forth a new birth in your own heart. You can try to think different. You can try to do this, try to do that, but your heart is still going to be deceitful. You can try putting on all those apples on your life, but you know the very next thing that's going to come forth from that root that isn't of the new birth, that, where the axe hasn't been laid at the root, that very thing is going to be a pear again. It's going to be back to that old thing. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, Jesus, the Lord says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? You know, see, we need a new heart, and Jesus promises that I will take away the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He will give us a heart that is pliable. He will give us a heart, a new heart. All right, how do we become born again? Well, in John 1, verse 11, the Bible tells us about Jesus coming into this world. It says, in verse 11, it says, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Well, let's look at these things. Number one, man is born, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. He's talking about being born again. Now, they aren't born not of blood. This new birth is not because your parents are. You will not be a Christian because your parents are Christians. You will not inherit eternal life because your parents have eternal life. You do not inherit your parents' salvation like we inherit their blood. This is a birth of God. This is an individual thing where you yourself must come to the place of seeking after God and seeking His grace in your life, seeking His forgiveness, and receiving of Him, crying out to Him. He alone can feel that in your life. Nor of the will of the flesh. Not by trying to be. You cannot be born again because you are trying to be. My son Marvin is not my son because he is trying to be. You know, you're not your father's son because you're trying to be his son. It's because because my son Marvin is born of me, he is my son. You are not a son of God because you're trying to be. You must be born of Him. It's just very clear. Nor of the will of man. No man, church, religious creed, or organization can make you a child of God. It's not the will of man. I can so desire, and I have desired of my children as they grow older. I have desired and desired that they would be born again. And one of our sons, actually the one that's with the Lord today, he died at the age of 19. He was a little slower in coming through to the Lord. And, you know, he turned 14, 13, 14, 15, and my wife and I were getting a little anxious. You know, he was not a rebellious son. He was very, very obedient, a very, as Germans would say, brav. He was a very good boy, but he was not born again, and I knew he needs to have the new birth. And we got a little excited, concerned, you know, well, when is he going to come through? And we committed it to the Lord. But, you know, God had his timing and brought him through to the new birth. We could will all we wanted to have him born again, and he was not going to be born again by our will. It's not of the will of man. It's of God. That's the next one. But of God. Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. Galatians 3, verse 24. Through 29 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, but ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, that's so exciting that when I realize that I get together with my brethren, there is neither old or Mennonite or Amish. There is neither Horning Mennonite or Protestant. There is neither Baptist nor atheist. But it's all those who come together in Christ Jesus. They are the body of Christ. They are one. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And it just thrills my soul to meet up with someone that may have been a hippie some years ago in total, you know, just total debauchery of sin. And, you meet up with them, and it only takes a moment till you realize there's a kindred spirit there, and you are one in Christ. Praise God for his great redemption. All right. And it goes on and it says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to promise. You do not receive Jesus by being baptized or doing certain things. No, you don't. Joel 2, verse 32 says this, and it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant from the Lord shall and the remnant from the Lord shall call. Yes. We need to cry out to God. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. The question I have for us this morning is, have we called on the name of the Lord? Acts 2, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Remember this morning, dearly beloved, it is God's greatest desire to save you. That is his desire. That's his heart. He wants to save you more than you want to be saved. Just never forget that. He wants to save you more than you want to be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You just go, okay. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Are you believing this morning? 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, walking in that transparency, 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the word of God. Let Christ be true and every man a liar. Psalms 103, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I'd like to challenge you this morning. If you are forgiven of God, if you seek his forgiveness and you receive that forgiveness, now tell me something. How far is the east from the west? Praise God, he didn't say so as far as the north is from the south, because that's measurable. You know, you go to the North Pole, and once you pass that North Pole, you're going south. You can head to the south, and if you go, you can go south. Everything will be telling you you're going south and to a certain point, and now you're going north. Well, it's not that way with east and west. If you go east, you can travel east around this world as long as you want to travel. You'll always be going east. If you go west, you can keep traveling as long as you want around this world, and you'll never come to the end of it. You're always going west. Now, how far is that? It is endless. It is immeasurable. There is no end. Now, he says here, as far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. That means they're gone. You'll never find the end of the west. You'll never find the end of the east. They are gone. Can we this morning, by faith, just grasp this reality, what God does with our transgressions when we but surrender to him? By faith receive his forgiveness. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. John 8, verse 31, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. 1 John 5, verse 9. Oh, I want to just go through that yet here in closing this morning. 1 John 5, verse 9 through 13. This was one of the most precious scriptures to me one of the most precious scriptures to me as I first came to the light. What this really means. It's just a very, very wonderful scripture. I'd like to just read this. I want to touch on the German here because it's very precious. 1 John verse 9, 1 John 5, verse 9 through verse 13. It says this way, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Well, read the German here. So Werder mentioned Zeigner's Annehmen, so ich gotta Zeigner's Gräser. Denn gotta Zeigner ist das, das gezeigt hat von seinem Sohn. All right, let's just go into that word a little bit here. That is simply saying this. If we receive the witness of men, do you believe people can tell you something? We do. We all do. If you're sitting in your house and the wife comes to you and says, somebody just drove in the drive. Well, if you're sitting there and you can't see the drive, you believe her. You get up and go to answer or go to the door. In your mind, there's no question but that somebody is going to be there in the driveway or is going to be pulling in there. You have just received the witness of men. Your wife witnessed that there's someone coming in, and you received that. You believed it. Now here, what the John is saying here is if we do this, if we can believe what men tell us, I want to tell you something. God, what God tells us is greater, because God cannot lie. Now coming back very briefly, if you're there and you're sitting there in your living room, and your wife would come and say, somebody came in the drive, well, you know, she could have been lying. It could be that you'd get up and you'd walk over there and there wouldn't be anybody there. And she'd say, well, I was just trying to get you out of your chair. I was just pulling a joke on you. I was pulling a trick on you. You know, man can do that. Man can be tricky. They can pull jokes. Not God. When God says something, it is true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And God cannot lie. Now, John wants to bring something about here in us. He says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So if you didn't mention Zeugnis on name, so he's got a Zeugnis greater, then got Zeugnis ist das, dass gezeigt hat von seinem Sohn. And he says, the witness of God, the Zeugnis, this is what he has witnessed of his son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. Alright, der da glaubt an den Sohn Gottes, der hat solches Zeugnis bei sich. Gottes Zeugnis ist größer. Der da glaubt an den Sohn Gottes, der hat solches Zeugnis bei sich. Der Gott nicht glaubt, der macht ihn zum Lügner. Denn glaubt nicht dem Zeugnis, das Gott zeigt von seinem Sohn. You know what that's saying? I'll go on to the next verse. And this is the record that God gave to us, eternal life, and his life is in his Son. Und das ist das Zeugnis. This is the record or the witness. Now, the English uses the word witness and then record. The German uses all the same words, Zeugnis. This is this Zeugnis. This is this record, this witness that God has given to us eternal life. Dass uns Gott das ewige Leben hat gegeben. Now it tells us, and so his Leben ist in seinem Sohn. And he explains it so clearly. He says, God promised you eternal life that if you believe. And what he's really saying here is, men tell you things and you believe them. God told you, I have given you eternal life. And you're not believing? God is truer than man. He cannot lie. If you doubt salvation in the finished work of Jesus and don't accept it in your heart and think that you have to somehow work this out and do certain things, what are you saying? You are saying that what God has done is not sufficient. And here it says that by your actions you are trying to prove God a liar. Now we know God can't lie, but it says he maketh God a liar. Macht Gott zum Lügner. And we know we can't make God a liar. We know that. He cannot lie. But by your actions, you are saying, by what you are claiming, that God is not true. You know better than he. He is not saying the truth. Can we realize what awaits us if we go on through life like that, denying eternal life, because we just can't believe? We think we know a little better than God? Oh, beloved, cast yourself fully on the finished work of Jesus and what Jesus has said, what God has said, he cannot lie. Trust in him. You're going to deceive yourself and end up at the end of the road without eternal life, without the new birth, because you didn't believe if you continue going on, reasoning around and saying, but I just can't accept it. But I'm not good enough. You know, your salvation is not based on you being good. Jesus didn't come to give salvation to those that are good. He came to give salvation to those who were cast their lives at his feet and say, here I am. I'm undone. I cannot attain to it. I'm giving myself to you. To those he gave eternal life. And if you're standing there in your life or going on through life saying, well, I'm just not good enough. I need to do this or that yet. And you just can't believe the finished work of Jesus, you're making him a liar by your actions. You're saying you know better than God. He goes on and he says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God. And I tell you, if you're out there and you're a believer this morning, this is for you. If you have believed in the finished work of Jesus, not in your own works, the Bible tells us they are as filthy rags before God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. So his hobby heißt die Schrieben. Die ihr glauben in den Namen des Gottes Sohnes, Sohnes Gottes, auf das ihr wisset, dass ihr das ewige Leben habt, und dass ihr glauben in den Namen des Sohnes Gottes. You see where it's at? This new birth is all in giving up of trying to get your own righteousness, giving yourself fully to the righteousness of God, believing, by faith receiving. I tell you, you need to come before God and say, Lord, I'm undone. I can't attain this righteousness. I can't do it. It's not in religious creed. It's not in this certain way. It's in faith, and I receive it in faith. I'm just bowing before you and giving my life to you. And he will give you the new birth. He promises. You know, in the Osborne, and I wanted to look this up. I didn't have an Osborne with me. But I think it's in the song, in the Osborne, I think it's in the same song, as Sinn Fein Weg. Somewhere either before or later, I think it's in that song, there's a little term in there, a verse, and correct me if, maybe someone can find this and give me a call, and I'd like to know where this is. I want to look it up myself, and I don't have an Osborne with me. But it says something like this. I remember it from years ago, and it thrilled my soul. Here I was being told again and again that you cannot know you're born again. And then I came upon this little line in this song. Das wissen alle Menschen kind, dass sie von Gott geboren sind. If I'm not mistaken, that's the way it's stated there in the one line in that song. Now, if I'm wrong, please feel free to correct me. But what a thrill. And I believe that to the depth of my heart. Das wissen alle Menschen kind, dass sie von Gott geboren sind. If you don't know you're born again this morning, don't go on in life that way. Don't go on in life in that darkness. You can know that you are right with God. You can have that confidence through faith. Not by anything you've done, but by believing. This is the promise of God. And let God be true, and every man a liar. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God bless each one of you. God be with you. And if you have any questions about this teaching, feel free to give me a call. You can call me on my cell phone most any time. The number is 717-606-6357. If you feel I'm teaching something that is not according to the Word of God, please feel free. Give me a call. I'm open. I want the truth and nothing but the truth. May God be with you.
Amen. Praise God. This is Brother Mose. I'm just, oh my, I rejoice in a message like this, and so many times I have heard, I hope that I have done enough of good works. Oh, what a grief that is to God for people that just hope that they have done enough of good works, because it'll never get them to heaven. It's only by grace that we are saved through faith, and Brother Melvin brought that out very clearly this morning. Es wissen alle Gottes Kind, dass sie von Gott geboren sind.
Osborne, page 744.
Well, thank you, Brother Mose. So I did quote that correct. Es wissen alle Gottes Kind, dass sie von Gott geboren sind.
Yeah. Well, you said Menschenkind. Es wissen alle Menschenkind. Es wissen alle Gottes Kind, dass sie von Gott geboren sind.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.